Malika Kad from Freefall. This is Gino from Upcoming Disc, and want to welcome you. How you doing?
Hey, Gino. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
No, thank you.
Well, I got a chance last week to see Freefall. Even got a chance to talk to Sarah Butler about it, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. So let's talk about Freefall a little bit. How's that sound?
Awesome. Sounds great.
Well, I got to ask, you've been kind of in the movie industry probably your entire life, you know, being around your father and such. So I have to ask, what took so long to get to your first feature to direct?
That's a great question. Well, you know, I've been making films since I was 10, and when I was in film school, directing was definitely the path. And when I first got out, I was doing music videos and commercials. But as you might know, in this industry, you have to be flexible and kind of go where the jobs are. And I started doing also production coordinating and some producing work. And I started working with my father, and so one thing led to another, and next thing you know, I'm primarily producing, but it was always kind of a means to an end to get back to directing at some point, at least partially, because it's, I would say it's more my first love than producing.
And I'm sure that over the years, you probably learned a lot from your father. What's the most important thing you think you took from him?
Well, yeah, I mean, learning from him and all the other great directors I've worked with over the years, for sure. But my father, I would have to say, the best thing, you know, he had some very strong traits as a director, which I'll never forget. One was, you know, he always kept everyone equally informed of what was to be done and kept everyone on the same page. And he led with a very calm, controlled manner. I don't think I ever saw him raise his voice or yell or lose control, as it were. So those are some traits that I take from him. And then in general, my father was blessed with a wonderful sense of humor and humility. Mm-hmm. And I think those served him well as a director as well.
Well, it was certainly tragic how and when we lost him, and I'm sure for you as well, but you're doing a job of carrying that name on now.
Trying. I mean, he was definitely one of a kind, but he's definitely very influenced by all the time and work that we've done, we spent together.
Sure. Now, how did Freefall come to your attention, this first directorial chance here? How did it come all together?
Well, it's, you know, the difficulty of getting a first, quote-unquote, first film to direct, it was always a delicate balance because you've got to serve the wishes of the studio that's behind you and financiers, and, you know, so it's a complicated, a delicate mix, and I tip my hat to anyone who's done it. But Freefall is a script that, upon first reading, was a fast, fun ride. I like that it flipped ahead on the action genre a bit and had a female lead in the quote-unquote action lead role. And it was, upon first reading, also something that looked a bit contained that we could do under the constraints of our budget, although it turned out to be very difficult, and for it was a lot broader than our budget could bear sometimes.
Right.
But it was a fun ride, and I also found in the story areas that I could infuse certain themes that I wanted to address that made it a little deeper in terms of the kind of corporate corruption and
sure.
bank fraud and things like that, that are subtle themes that are in there infused, but not to make it a quote-unquote message movie, but a fun ride, but yet still has some social commentary embedded in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you brought up an interesting point. One of the things I found most fascinating about the film is you look at the buzz, you look at the description, you look at all the information before you see it, and you're right. It comes across as such a contained movie, you know, with her being in this elevator shaft. But when you watch the movie, and this is something I talked to Sarah about too, it's much more of a physical role than I would have ever guessed. That was the big surprise to me coming out of the movie is how physical and how much of an action film it turned out to be. Was that a surprise to you? Did that develop early on, or was that always a part of the idea?
Like I said, the first reading of the script was a lot more contained, and it was a lot more about being in this claustrophobic space, and I needed to broaden it out from that original vision a little bit. So that was one consideration. Also, with an actress like Sarah Butler, only the vulnerability and that special bond with an audience, but mm-hmm. he also had the physicality that allowed us to explore those other aspects and bring in those elements to the story.
So is it kind of fair to say that a lot of these elements developed as it was all coming together?
Yes. The script was a fun ride, but it definitely, as I sort of got my hands into it, I wanted to really broaden the scope and size. And I also wanted to explore some deeper themes to bring into it.
Right.
So without getting too heavy-handed with those, I think hopefully found a good balance to address those, but keep it just sort of a fun ride for the audience.
Yeah, and it seems to be another surprise. You talk about the budget changing and such. I imagine having to build this this kind of central set piece, because looking at the extra stuff, you built this entire several story shaft so that you could film these items in. How would that all develop? Was that originally your plan to build this giant set?
It was never the original plan. You read a script and you sort of envision it in your mind, and then you got to get to the realities of creating it. And believe it or not, we scouted actual elevator shafts. And
mm-hmm.
We scouted, existing sets. It's such a tricky thing. You can't put your actors and your lights safely in
sure.
working shafts. So ultimately, yes, we had to build a working elevator shaft that our actors were comfortable in, that our stunt coordinator was comfortable in working with the actors in and our stunt people. So that was definitely a huge challenge, and one, fortunately, that I think we found a way to do it, at least within our budgetary constraints.
And I'm assuming that this elevator itself, it didn't look like it was very large, and you spent a lot of time shooting in this confined space. I'm assuming all four walls were removable, so you could try from different angles. Is that right?
Yes, that was a key in the design, and one for me, the main reason we had to build it, because I was never going to be able to get the shots that I wanted in a actual elevator cab. It's just way too confining.
Mm-hmm. And from a director point of view, you've got an actress who's in this confined space and has to react to a lot of things that are happening off camera through intercoms and such like that. What kind of challenge is that for you? How do you get everybody kind of into the moment?
Well, I mean, we did a lot of different techniques that sort of startling her off set or knocking one of the walls which she wasn't expecting, it, just to keep it fresh.
Sure.
Her mind, but really the credit there goes to Sarah Butler,
mm-hmm.
who was able to take a moment, get into that place, which I was just fascinated to see how she could do it. Our technique of working together was she needed a few minutes before each take to really get into that space, and then when I wanted what I needed from her, whether it was deep emotional feeling or a sense of being frightened or strength, whatever the emotion was, she was able to get there. And perhaps being in that confined space helped a little bit, because she was somewhat isolated from the crew and the employees, all the chaos that goes on around. But really, all the credit there goes to Sarah. What a great actress she is.
Yeah. I'm meant to understand that D.B. Sweeney also helped a lot by being there when he didn't have to, and helped to accent what was happening, the stuff that was happening off screen that was causing her this problem.
Yeah, I mean, D.B. was great in that regard, for sure. I mean, but the biggest thing is D.B., I mean, all the experience that he brings from his great career,
right.
And his great talent, he really took his character to places that were, it was not, frankly, on the page originally. It was something that collaborating with him on was a joy. He really cared about every line and every gesture. We really worked it together, and what he brought to this role is really phenomenal, and something that I think helps the film and his character greatly.
Well, and he played it to the hilt. I remember the kind of swagger he had. He walks into his Garza and, he's asking about his family and stuff, and suddenly asks the question about the life insurance. I mean, he says it in a way that's not menacing at all, but we all get the idea.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's, again, so much of that credit goes to D.B. and his collaborative sense. You know, you could have an actor who just shows up and just wants to feed you the lines that they're written, or someone who comes up and we really went back and forth over every day's lines up to the day, up to the minute we shot them, and even then some. And we did a lot of different riffs on things, a lot of different, trying a lot of different things. So he was just a joy to work from a collaborative sense.
Sure. And it's a bigger movie than anybody looking at the box or looking at the description can imagine. People shouldn't be misled by that. It's a much larger movie than it presents to be.
I think so, yeah. I mean, and I think that's something that's always difficult to get across, but that was something that I have to say from my production team. I was very impressed because we did push the limits of this budget. And I do think it is something that looks bigger in scope than... That you might think or people may expect.
Right. And then the other cast member, of course, you had Malcolm McDowell, who was no stranger to working with you before.
Well, Malcolm is, that's the legend right there. The joy I had working with him on the two Halloweens, I can't even tell you how great that was. Dream come true in a way. But then by the time we got around to the second one, it was more of a deep friendship. Such a wonderful guy, joy to have around, and he really was my, one pick for this role. And mm-hmm. I'm just so grateful to him that he took it on. I think he did a fantastic job.
Well, and I'm sure that relationship that you guys started then really played into giving willing to do this, because it's not a large role, and
right.
But it's a pivotal role.
It is a pivotal role, and yes, the friendship played into it. I think there was also a trust between us. And because very short amount of time, we had to get through things quickly, and of course, the great Malcolm McDowell has no problem with that, but being an actor and director, to get to that place where you're both comfortable, fortunately we have this kind of unspoken language between us, knew each other very well, and we were able to get up and running very quickly to a place where I think we both felt comfortable.
Right. Well, you have Free Fall coming out here in home video. You also have, this month came out the big Halloween set. So
yes.
Not only you, but your father's great work in there. And so how do you feel about seeing all these movies put together and come out in a big package like this?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, amazing just from a logistical standpoint, because there's so many different companies, distribution
right.
and production entities involved that, kind of never thought it was all going to come together. So once we got over that hurdle, it all kind of fell into place pretty organically, although it was quite a lot of work. And to step back from it and look at these 10 films and look at, of course, my father's contribution,
yes.
the time that I've spent, been fortunate enough to spend with the franchise, and really to look at how these all originated from this small little film that they did 36 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And all credit there really goes to John Carpenter and what he was able to achieve,
right.
With such small resources back then, and creating characters that have become part of the American lexicon, if you will.
Yeah, they certainly have. Well, and you came along, I guess, more officially. You've obviously probably been around from the beginning, but, I mean, you came along more officially in The Curse of Michael Myers, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was around in one way or another, whether it was just a kid running around the
sure.
set, asking questions or getting more deeply involved, but the first one that I was sort of involved in the producer role was The Curse of Michael Myers.
And that kind of things changed then, didn't it? Because then you guys went, I guess, to the Weinsteins, and the movie became more of a studio movie, so you kind of had that rough spot of taking it from that kind of independent look that it had through into something more studio appropriate. How difficult was that?
Yeah, I mean, that film was associate producer, so I was very much kind of a glorified producer. you bring up a great point. I mean, it was the first time that this very independently driven franchise was now under the supervision somewhat of a studio, and not only any studio, but notorious Weinsteins who are great to work with and
right.
at times difficult to work with.
Sure.
So I think that film really was kind of a learning curve for everyone on how to work together and how to transition this kind of film into what was, like you said, more of a studio film.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that even though I'm sure it's not quite what you had originally imagined after all the back and forth with the studio and what they released. I'm sure you're at least pleased that a somewhat version of what you guys had in mind is now out on Blu-ray and in high def for people to enjoy for the first time in that kind of quality.
Well, I'm definitely happy that it's in that quality rather than the really bad quality bootlegs that were existing for all these years. But in a way, it was all those bad bootlegs that really kind of kept it alive. And that was the amazing thing, to see that there was a fan base and such a demand for it. So I think the fact that those bootlegs were out is what really made it see the light of day all these many years later.
Well, I don't know if you know how many fans that might be listening to this probably stopped back when you were talking about a kid running around in the set. Now, how many people would have loved to have been a kid running around in the set while Halloween was being made? That had to have been a heck of an experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, you know, when you're exposed to all these great talents, and I have been throughout all the films, whether it's John Carpenter, Jamie Lee Curtis, Deborah L., you go on to like Johnny Little, Steve Miner, Rob Zombie, Rick Baseball, my father. You're just exposed to all these wonderful talents, seeing that evolve, and seeing how this franchise has been the launch of so many fantastic talents in the industry. It's been amazing. And then looking back, I finally counted it up. I've worked on six of them now. It's kind of staggering to think about it, but it's definitely become an integral part of my life as well.
Well, and you know, the obvious question has to be, is there going to be a third in this new rebooted line?
There will be a third, yes. We're actually working on one now, although it won't be a third in the most traditional sense of picking up right where the last one left off, but it will definitely sort of answer some loose ends and will kind of transition into something that will be a little different. And I think it's something that the fans are going to really like, and in particular also got to a broader audience of people that may not have seen the last two years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be something that people will really respond to. At least that's what you always hope for going into it.
Now, will you be collaborating with Rob Zombie again on this, or is this going to be a new crew or new staff, or what's the plan?
No, although, you know, working with Rob was an amazing experience. He's such an amazingly talented guy, and such a fantastic work ethic. I mean, I love every minute working with him. I think, though, that is probably something that all parties would say is probably run its course.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob's working on a very exciting new project now at the moment. So I don't think it'll be with Rob in any way, but you know, he laid down a strong foundation that will enable us to take this franchise into new and exciting territory.
Might you be directing?
No, I might mind directing Halloween, but I do love producing them, and I'm very much looking forward to producing this next one.
All right. Well, so what else is up for you? Maybe as a director, do you have anything in line? Anything you're working on now?
I do. I have another film that I'm working on right now. It's a smaller scale film, kind of in the vein of Free Fall. But a little bit more on the vein of a psychological horror rather than thriller.
Okay.
And then I've got a couple of books and options I'm working on. So there's a lot of things in development that unfortunately are not quite ready to announce.
Sure.
And then in terms of a company, we're doing another film with Anchor Bay that we will be announcing very soon. I'm very excited about that. I'll be producing. And that should be announced here in the next few weeks, hopefully. I'll touch wood.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the next Halloween. So we've got a nice slate coming. But the next one that I hope to be directing is probably going to be coming around to get into production by next summer.
Well, good. Well, we look forward to seeing it. And I'm sure we'll hear this Anchor Bay announcement pretty soon. These guys are good at getting the word out. So I'm sure I'll be seeing that film when it hits the street. So I appreciate you spending the time. I wish nothing but the best for you. And hope you have a great holiday season coming up.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate your time, taking the time, and hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, we'll be looking at Free Fall. It's available now from Anchor Bay on DVD and Blu-ray.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Happy Halloween.
Yes.
Talk to you soon.
Happy Halloween. Take care.
Take care.